everybody. Welcome to Listen Money Matters. Mo money, mo awesome. My name is Matt, and I'm here, as always, with Andrew. Andrew, how are you, bud, and what are you drinking today?
I am well, and I just finished off my Nutribullet, and I'm on my Camelback Eddy filled with water.
You and that friggin' Nutribullet.
Ah, dude, it's tasty. It's how I get my antioxidants.
Well, you can't. You got to stop calling it a Nutribullet. You're not drinking the machinery. You're drinking a smoothie, but what's it made with? Berries. There's things in there, right?
Berries. Yogurts, sometimes
flaxseed. Yeah. I remember you mentioning
almonds. Sometimes it depends. It's a surprise every day.
Surprise every day. You don't know. Spinach.
Sometimes.
All right. I'm drinking. Well, I'm actually not drinking anymore. I finished my Bulletproof coffee. It was buttery and it was delicious, and now I'm moving on to water again. So, but guys, before we get started today, if you have any questions about personal finance or about money or about anything, shoot us an email with your question, listenmoneymatters@gmail.com. We've been getting a lot, and we've been answering a lot, and we want to keep doing that. Really like it. Also, we want your submissions for catchphrases at the beginning of the show. Today's catchphrase, Mo Money, Mo Awesome, was sent in by Tyler Shepard. Thank you, Tyler. But we want you to send them in via Twitter. @MoneyMattersMan, that is our Twitter handle. Please follow us. We broke 1,000 followers yesterday. Very excited about that. And we want to hear from you guys. We want to answer questions. We want to answer them on the show, all that stuff. But today we have a guest on the show. His name is Travis Pizell, and he is a writer for enemyofdebt.com. He and his partner, get this, accumulated $109,000 in credit card debt through a lack of communication, and by improving that communication, they were able to pay it off. So, Travis, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Andrew. I'm excited to be here.
So, all right, I got to start by asking, how in the hell did you accumulate $109,000 in credit card debt? What were you buying?
Funny, that's exactly the same question I asked myself. But, what did we buy? We bought everything and anything. To be honest with you, we had never from the get-go, my wife and I, from when we got married, never had a budget, never kept track of our spending, never really cared whether we used credit cards to buy stuff or not. Right? We started out with good jobs and good income, and we figured, if we spent more than what we earned, eventually that next pay increase, that next salary increase, would put us over that hump where we would now make more money than we could ever spend, and we would start catching up, and that never happened.
Right, so you were always hoping that more money was going to come, and eventually we'll pay it off sometime.
Right.
Once we get the once we get the monies, we'll pay it off.
Exactly.
Right. I know that story. Yeah, so, I got to find out everything and anything. Let me guess. Let me make an assumption. Did you buy a house and need to fill it with stuff?
Oh, absolutely.
So like a couch, TV, like all those like general consumer things that you buy that end up costing a lot of money.
Right. And of course, the kitchen was a little outdated, so we had to remodel that.
Of course. Andrew, you know that story all too well.
True that.
So and you're not only so you updated your kitchen, you were you spending it on like food, like going out to dinner and like having fun, that sort of stuff?
Yeah, and I think that's part of it. I mean, we went on trips to Hawaii, completely financed on plastic, went to Cancun, and we had some in-laws that couldn't afford the trip, and we said, we'll pay for you. Of course, we didn't pay. Well, I mean, we paid for it 10 years later, but, paid for that too. And then it was just the constant overspending, right? Hey, we want to have people over for dinner. Let's provide all the drinks, all the food, all of everything. And if we don't have the money in our pocket, we'll pull out a credit card.
Did you use the money to spend on your wedding?
It started after our wedding. We had help with our wedding through in-laws and stuff. We started our marriage, right at zero. We didn't have any student loan debt. That was all taken care of.
Oh, that's nice.
We didn't have any, very little credit card debt at that point, and our in-laws really helped us out with the wedding. So we started, day one of our marriage, in good shape, but it quickly deteriorated from there.
Did you have one credit card between the two years, or this is like $109,000 spread over multiple credit cards.
Oh, this is definitely spread over. So okay. this is the other part of the story, right? As we started to go through our marriage and credit card debt started uh-huh. accumulating, and we weren't making any headways for it or towards it. That's when another story kicks in. That's when I really started to insulate my wife from our finances. Right? She would ask how are we doing, and my answer would always be fine. But then after everyone went to bed, I'd be downstairs moving balances around, applying for new lines of credit to try to, you know, get that introductory rate or just to increase our overall credit limit so that we could continue, you know, living the way that we were.
Now, what's your background as far as were you a financial guy?
No, I'm a software engineer.
Ah, okay. We know your type.
Yeah.
So you were a software. So you had nothing to do with, you know, money in the past. So you had to learn this on your own.
Right. That's exactly right.
And you were just trying to keep up this lifestyle by increasing your credit limits. And I guess so. I imagine you were paying your credit cards off every month. Or I'm sorry, not off. Just paying them and keeping up with it.
Correct. Right. Okay. We're paying the minimums each month. You know, and again, by doing balance transfers, you save a payment. You know, I learned every trick in the book to try to keep the minimum payments down as far as I mm-hmm. could, and keep that interest rate down. But you know, you just keep overspending, and sooner or later, those credit cards fill up, and you know, you need a new one. So eventually, it became to the point where you know it was basically just trying to tread water, right? Trying to get to the next 2-week payment, right? Get to the next payday, get through the next set of payments, and that was the tunnel vision, right? It wasn't even how can we get rid of this, how can we make it better. Mm-hmm. It was just how do I get through the next 2 weeks?
What was the breaking point?
The breaking point in 2009, in June of 2009, I got. 5 identical letters from a major credit card company through which we had 5 accounts. And each of those letters was identical except for the account number, saying that they were changing their minimum payment policy. The interest rate wasn't changing, but their minimum payment policy was changing from 1% of the balance to 2.5% of the balance. And when I calculated what that was going to do to our minimum payments, I knew we were sunk. Right? There's no way that we could make those payments.
Interesting. So the credit card companies changing their policy got you to start paying off your credit. So they did themselves a disservice.
Right. Yeah. And the interesting thing is years later, that actually ended up being a multi-million-dollar lawsuit against that credit card company, which they lost. Mm-hmm. I think they had to pay out somewhere in the neighborhood of like $200 million, which, you know, I got my 25 bucks from it. So
right. That's like maybe a half a day's revenue for them.
Right. So what we actually had to do, because we couldn't make those payments, we actually had to search around for solutions. And, you know, first thing we did, we go into our bank and ask, can you give us a consolidation loan? What can you do to help us? And they basically said, we can't help you.
Well, in 2009, they weren't helping shit.
Right.
You know,
yeah. You know, their wonderful advice was pay down your second mortgage as fast as possible and then use equity in your home. And I'm like, you guys don't freaking understand. I need help in like 10 days.
Right.
I don't need help in a couple of years. I need help right freaking now.
Right.
And so they were no help. So we wanted to avoid bankruptcy. We didn't want to go that route. We knew that was going to be, you know, court dates and bad things on our credit report.
Yeah.
And all that sort of, and we might lose our house and all our stuff. So we started to search around the internet. We ended up enrolling in a different kind of debt relief program, which allowed us to, at a reduced interest rate, pay off every penny of our debt through the next 55 months. So we had a monster payment. All of our credit cards had to be closed. That was part of the deal of the program. All of the credit cards had to be closed, could not be used anymore, couldn't open any new credit cards or they'd boot us off the program.
Huh.
And then we were given a single monthly payment that would be dispersed to the different creditors. And over 55 months, we completely paid it off.
What program was this?
It's called a debt management program, and I don't know if you want me to say the company's
name
or not. Care One Debt Relief Services is the provider that we went through, it was the best decision we've ever made. But it's very important to understand that, you know, the program itself allowed us to pay off that credit card debt, but we really had to address the underlying issue. right? That I was hiding things from my wife, that we weren't communicating about our finances, and we had to work very hard not only at making those payments each month, but figuring out how we can handle our finances together so that we didn't end up in that situation again.
Hmm. So, all right. So this is the – how do they lower your interest rate?
So they have they call it a negotiation, that they send a proposal to a credit card company saying, mm-hmm. look, these people are in trouble, and they're in danger of not being able to make their payment. Would you reduce their interest rate and set up, you know, such that they can have a monthly payment that will allow them to pay off the debt to you 100% in the next 3 to 5 years? And then they like you to believe that then the credit card company says yes or no to the proposal. But in reality, they really have a relationship with large creditors. Mm-hmm. So they just basically say, hey, this person is enrolling in the program. They exchange interest rates and monthly payments. And then so we make one payment to the debt management program, to our debt relief provider, and then they disperse the payments, the monthly payments, to the creditors. And then we pay a service fee for that. But I think I estimated over the life of our program, I paid $50 a month for 55 months. That ends up being, I don't know, somewhere around $2,500, $2,700. But I saved in the interest rate reduction about $50,000 in interest.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. The payments that I would have had to have made with interest to pay off those credit cards would have been about $165,000, I believe, was the estimate. And over the life of that program, I paid about $120,000.
Okay. Now, so that you saved a lot.
Yes, absolutely.
And how much was your monthly payment to this program?
With the service fee, it was $2,489 each month.
A month. And how long were you doing that for until it was paid off?
We did it. It was 56 payments. We made two payments on the last month, so it took us 55 months to do it.
It's not. What, I don't know the math on that. What is that? How many years is that?
So it's about 4.5 years.
4.5 years. Okay. Do you consider this program a godsend in your eyes?
Oh, absolutely. It's I don't know how. I don't know where we'd be without it right now. I think we probably would have had to declare bankruptcy. Probably would have had to sell our house. I honestly don't know where we'd be right now.
Really? It's this program, because I've heard of people getting into this program. I think my brother was in a program that was similar to this. And how did you end up finding this company, and what made you go with this company over the other ones out there? Because I know a lot of other ones are kind of scammy in a way.
Yeah, and there are ones out there just trying to take your money.
Yeah.
There are ones out there that won't deliver on their promises. To be honest with you, I'd like to say I did a lot of research and really vetted myself on them. But in reality, you know, at that point, you're in desperation mode, right? I can't make payments in 10 days. I got to figure something out. Mm-hmm. But I did search the internet. We found probably 4 or 5 different debt management programs or debt relief providers. And I started looking around on the internet, you know, check their Better Business Bureau rating. Which doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot. But when I really started searching for reviews of the program, reviews of that company, this one stood out. And especially they have an online community where their customers go and like ask questions of other customers and ask questions of the experts. And the kind of overarching, that the general voice of that community was, this program is helping people, and that's what really put me over the edge to say, let's go with that one.
So I mean, $109,000 is an insane amount of debt. What kind of sacrifices do you have to make to pay this off in 56 payments? Because that's pretty ambitious.
Yeah, and we didn't realize in the beginning, or didn't want to realize exactly how much we had to change our lifestyle to be able to fit that payment, along with all our other monthly commitments, you know, into our income. So, you know, we started, you know, so we can't go out to eat anymore. Okay, mm-hmm. No more inviting people over to our house. Absolutely no more vacations and trips. But, you know, we had to sit down and tell our kids, you know, hey, we're going to have to not give you allowance for a while. We had to, do all the things that you normally would do to try to cut costs. You know, cable is gone.
Yep.
The cars, you know, you're just going to have to live with the cars you got. If they break down, they break down. You're not getting new cars. Mm-hmm. Really, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, eating out, entertaining. And when you go to the grocery store, right, when you don't care about your budget, you're just throwing shit in the cart, right?
Yeah,
you don't care. And you know, so it's like, all right, time to like meal plan and really plan out, you know, sit down at the beginning of each week. You know, we it took us a while to figure out how this was going to work for us. But where we ended up was we have two weekly discussions, my wife and I. On Thursday night, we sit down and we go over all of our, you know, our financials and say, this is how much money we have. This is how much, this is what we're going to spend it on over the weekend. This is the bills we've got, all that. And then Sunday night, we sit down and do it again. Well, how do we do over the weekend? You know, what's our plan for the rest of the week? So we're so now we're constantly communicating about our money. And even in, you know, at breakfast time, she sits at our counter in front of our laptop and signs into our online banking portal and looks at what transactions have posted overnight. Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's times where we talk, you know, even if it's for just a few minutes a day, we're looking at our financials together. And so we're constantly on the same page. And when both people in a relationship are constantly on the same page with where your money's going and how and planning where to spend it, it's amazing how much smoother things go.
So whose idea was it to start communicating?
I think we it was kind of a mutual decision, right? When we get those five letters, and I've got to sit down and have a conversation with my wife about, so this is how much debt we really have, and we're in trouble. That's a very interesting discussion.
Yeah.
To have. And you know, that, at that point, we, both of us were like, we have to change. We have to do something differently. This is not working. We're on the brink of financial collapse, so we have to do this differently. And you know, it, like I said, it took us a while to figure out a system that works for us. It took us a while to really to come to grips with how much we had to change our lifestyle and how much we had to just, you know, basically enjoy the things that we already had. And you know, we had friends in our neighborhood that we hung out with all the time that were very big consumers, right? It's like, hey, let's go shopping. No, you know what? We're gonna pass. We're gonna hang out at home and just kind of sit on our deck and have a pop or something.
Right.
So
have a pop. Where are you from?
Minnesota. I knew that was coming. As soon as it came out of my mouth, I knew that was coming.
So how did, like, I want to know, you had mentioned you have friends that were big spenders, right? You know, you didn't go out as much. How did it, like, vastly improve? I'm sorry, maybe not improve is the wrong word. How did it affect your social life? So did you lose friends because of this and all that, you know, sorts of things?
I wouldn't say that we lost friends, but those other couples that we were very close with that were very big consumers, mm-hmm. you know, all of a sudden they were off doing some activities together that we couldn't participate in. So we kind of felt left behind sometimes. But we understood it was for the greater good. And they understood, right? You know, we didn't tell a lot of people what our position was and what we were going through, but we told them. So they made an effort to, yeah, you know, they're going to go out and go shopping because that's what they do. But there are also times where it was, you know, we're going to go up and hang out with the Pizels. We understand what their situation is, but we're still friends with them. And, you know, we want to hang out with you and include us in your lives. So, you know, on one hand, we felt a little bit left out sometimes, but understood why. But on the other hand, we found out that they really were close friends of ours because they understood our situation made an attempt to continue to include us in their lives.
So you were living the high life before, but your wife was in the dark. How did your relationship change then to communicating constantly and being on the same page and paying down this debt? And
yeah, did it improve?
I love to answer this question. So it's one of those, it gets worse before it gets better, right? So there's the initial phase of you know, that I betrayed her trust, and that took a while to rebuild. But once we started to rebuild that, and we started to, you know, end up really having to spend time with each other, because we didn't have the resources to just go out and do stuff, right? We had to figure out how to do things together that were inexpensive or free. So not only did we spend time working on our communication and being on the same page and solving problems with each other, financial problems, but we also spent more time together, you know, socially, just hanging out and getting to know each other again. And, you know, when we came out of that debt management program, our marriage is stronger. Our relationship is, I have never been happier in my entire life. My wife and I's relationship has now has a foundation that it didn't have before. And we are 100% confident that we can handle anything that comes our way, because it's second nature now to be able to just talk to her about a problem. Right before, it was I felt as a failure as a man and as a husband to be able to tell her, we can't afford this, or look at what I've allowed to happen because I didn't talk to you. You know, now it's, we're a team, we're together, and we'll figure this out together.
Yeah, there's no I in team.
That's right.
So
not even in Minnesota.
No, not even in Minnesota. So what about after debt? Life after debt, right? So are you still, did you go back to the lifestyle but have the fancy lifestyle beforehand but still have more control? Or are you on the, you know, we still are, you know, keeping track of our finances. We still talk every single week. We still, you know, stay in. We don't give the kids allowances. Like those, did you keep any of those principles, you know, during your debt payoff?
You know, the foundation is still there. You know, we've reenacted or reimposed some of the things that we did before, like, you know, allowance to our kids, right? I think it's important. They understood what we were going through. They didn't have the numbers, but they understood what we were going through. They understood why they didn't get allowance for a while. After a while, we found a way to start giving it to them again. You know, now we finished our program at the end of January. And we still communicate twice a week. Okay. Every Thursday, every Sunday, financial discussions. Have we loosened the reins a little bit on our spending? You know, sure, right? Because now we have $2,489 in our budget that we didn't before. Nice. But we're also very excited about the future of what we can do with that, and not just from a, woohoo, we can go out and spend it on parties sort of thing.
Yeah, right.
It's like, okay, so now we've got this money. We've got a 15-year-old and a 12-year-old that are looking at college. So we should start investing in a college fund for them. You know, we want to retire someday. We should be investing money for retirement. Mm-hmm. We need our emergency fund, right? If there's one thing that we learned over the course of the 55 months is, you know, a credit card is not an emergency fund. You need to have, you know, some amount of cash sitting there in case something unexpected pops up. You know, it's not a let's, you know, grow to the size of our tank now and spend that $24.89. It's okay, so let's loosen the reins a little bit. Maybe our grocery budget goes up a little bit. Maybe we go out once, you know, one more extra time every month or whatever. But the majority of that money is going into, you know, things for our kids' future, for our future, emergency fund, you know, things that, you know, prepare us to or continue to build that foundation for the future.
Mm-hmm. And now you're a writer.
And now I'm a writer, and that's an interesting story as well. So I like to stick this in there real quick. So my debt management program, our debt relief company, you know, I saw we're always looking for ways to make more money, right?
Sure.
Now we've got this huge bill every month. How can we increase our income? I can't go ask my boss for a raise. That's just not how it works in my job. Mm-hmm. So I started doing mystery shopping, found my way into that, making a little bit of money here or there every month. There was a post in that online community that I talked about asking for customers to share their story. I said, I can do that. I was a, you know, I liked writing when I was in school. Mm-hmm. So I responded to that thread and they said, yeah, we'd love you to share your story as you go through your, you know, your program. And I started writing for them, and that expanded into Twitter and the blogosphere and getting to know other bloggers. And now, you know, I'm a freelance writer. I write for, I think, 5 different websites now. And, you know, bring in a significant amount of side hustle income every month just from writing.
And what are you using that money for?
Same thing, right? Everything goes into a general bucket, and we figure out, you know, what we're going to do with what's left over.
Cool. So what's going on at enemyofdebt.com?
Enemyofdebt.com is really just what's going on day-to-day in my life, right? I really like to keep my writing personal. It's generally personal stories, things that have happened. Hey, you know, we went to the mall, and, you know, my wife, who's very passionate, you know, convinced the person to allow us to use coupons when they shouldn't. Mm-hmm. New credit card sort of regulations that interest me, write about that.
Cool.
Personal stories or personal experience that make me think, hey, this kind of motivates me to continue down the path that I am, I'll write about that, right? So it's very much a personal diary of how I deal with finances as I go through life.
Cool. And you're on Twitter?
And I am on Twitter. Cool. Enemy of Debt Works, or my personal Twitter account is Debt Chronicles.
Debt Chronicles. I like that. Where else can people find you online?
People can find me online. I write for Money Ning every Thursday. And I'm also on My Personal Finance Journey once a month.
Cool. Well, Travis, thank you for sharing your story today.
Absolutely.
It's pretty big. Pretty big deal.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me on your show. The biggest message that I'd like to send out to people is, no matter how far in debt you are, how hopeless it seems, there is help out there. You just have to go and find it.
Perfect way to end that. Perfect. Nailed it. Thank you so much again for being on the show. Really appreciate it, guys. Thank you for hanging out with us. We really appreciate it. If you guys want to send in your questions, if you have debt questions for Travis, we'll pass it along over to Travis, if you don't mind. So you can send them over at listenmoneymatters@gmail.com. And please, here's the big thing we want from you guys. We've realized since we started this podcast how important reviews are for our growth in iTunes so that people can find this show. So if you guys could please leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you listen, it's incredibly important. And in fact, I'm going to read a review from somebody. This was on May 22nd, and it's from iFunLove. So iFonLuv. I really love this podcast. 4 stars. So not 5 stars, but we'll take it. 4 stars is good enough. I love the fact that this podcast is a little unconventional, but it always offers good money advice. I like the fact that one of the podcasters has a bit of experience with personal finance. That's Andrew. And the other guy is learning as he goes. That would be me. Makes it totally relatable. Keep up the good work, guys. Thank you, iFonLove, for that review. Really appreciate it. And guys, listen, we have a book. It's called Mastering Mint, which you can find at masteringmint.com. And what it is a book on how to use mint.com. And we have a promo code. If you enter the promo code podcast, you will get $5 off. So that is our gift to you. If you want to check it out, masteringmint.com. Last but not least, check out our website, listenmoneymatters.com/show. And check out enemyofdebt.com from Travis. And that's it. Travis, thanks again. And Andrew, thank you for being on the show, of course, and we look forward to the next episode. Later, guys.
Later, Ben.